the Duflorism of ism is as hard as 1 + 1 = 2, and it had to do with reinventing the wheel and all of that. But we were telling jokes, of course. But there was a 1 + 1 = 2 in the business, in some sufficiently generalized sense. Anyway, so back to what we were talking about. So the main thing I owe you is an explanation. Okay, the main thing I will not do is an explanation how my language matches the Alexeyev Torossian language. It does, and it's lovely, but I'm not going to say anything about it. It's enough that I related it to Kashiwara Verne, and they are related to Kashiwara Verne. The other thing I want to do is to explain how constructing V allows you to construct a weak form of an associator, and vice versa, in fact. So, I mean, earlier I said you need a strong associator. You can actually make do with a weak associator as well. So I need to tell you about the bijec, or how this V business is related to associators. And for that, this is something that I restarted. Sorry, that I started a while ago, but I didn't finish it, and this is unfortunate. Now I need to finish it. Okay? So I need to rephrase the theory of associators in terms of knotted trivalent graphs. So let me remind you, if gamma is a graph, so something like this, and I don't mean a chord diagram, I mean a graph, and it should be thick, fat graph, I don't know. But anyway, so if gamma is a graph, I talked about the set of knottings of gamma, okay? And the set of all knottings of all graphs, so the set of all, if you look at the union over all graphs of the set of all knottings of all graphs, then this is an algebraic structure with lovely operations, and I mentioned them before when I talked about algebraic knot theory, but let me just remind you what they are. So one is the binary operation. So if you have two knotted trivalent graphs and you choose an edge here and an edge here, then you can map this pair to the more complicated knotted trivalent graph that you get by adding an edge in connecting the two edges. These are knotted. I'm drawing them unknotted, but I really mean knotted. Okay? And it's a lovely exercise that this is well defined. I don't remember if I did it last time or not. But anyway, it's a lovely exercise that this is well defined. Even if this is messed up, there is sort of a canonical way to connect the two. And then there is the following. So if you have, now it's a unary operation. If you have a graph with a marked edge E, you can either delete that edge and you get a simpler graph, or you can unzip that edge and you get a, well, it's also a simpler graph, in fact, but it's simpler in a different way. Okay? Now, given the second operation, there is a second version of the binary operation. So let me just say it very, very quickly. So suppose now I have two knotted trivalent graphs, and I choose a vertex on each one, so V and V prime. Then I claim that I can connect the two with a three-lane highway that will connect this edge to this edge to this, and this edge to that. How? So I first apply the binary operation written here, using the edges nearby. Then I unzip. Then I unzip again, and I got a three-lane highway. So this is a derived operation. It's a combination of the operations I have here, but I will use it later, so it's worth mentioning. Okay? Claim, I should take a picture, but after that I will claim, I will tell you a lie, and then I will fix it. So lie, this collection KTG is generated by a single thing. Modulus is operations, you just need to know, it's generated by just a single graph, namely the tetrahedron. Okay, proof, so I will just illustrate or tell you how I construct the trefoil out of that, and it will be clearly generalizable. And the trick is to use the domino theory, a Vietnam era construct. So surely you know that the American theory for about the Vietnam War was, why did they intervene? Because there was this domino theory, right? If one country in Southeast Asia falls, then it will lead to the fall of the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and eventually the whole world will fall to communism. So we do the same thing. Suppose I want to construct the trefoil. First, I make a blueprint. This is not the construction. This is not the trefoil. This is sort of a note that I made for myself. That's the blueprint for my world domination plan. Okay? Then I use it to put red infiltrations in key places. So what's a red infiltration is, it's I put a tetrahedron near each crossing. Okay? So this is a tetrahedron, right? And then I put another such tetrahedron here, and another such tetrahedron here. And as an aside, if I also had trivalent vertices, so if I didn't want to just generate a trefoil but an actual knotted graph, I would also put tetrahedra around each vertex. Okay? And the same would work. But let's do not the easy case. I just don't want to. I mean, okay. So now I have the red infiltrations, and now the next thing is to link them up. So I do a three-way highway between this one and that one, and the picture I have now is looking like this. No, going to the middle, and then to here. The point is that I've used my generator three times, and now I'm using an allowed operation, and the whole thing I want to do is to construct the trefoil out of the generator and allowed operation. So far, I haven't constructed the trefoil. I've just constructed, I don't know, a funny knotted trivalent graph and another one disjoint from it. Okay? So the next thing is I link up these two. And really, I want to link up these two as well. But I can't, because that's not one of my allowed operations. My allowed operations are, you know, the binary operation and the unary operations. There is no unary operation of adding an edge between two edges of an existing graph, because this is not well defined. How will the edge go? So it cannot be an allowed operation. On this picture, you might think you know how to do it, but generally speaking, it's not an allowed operation. So I cannot use it. But luckily, I can let the commies take over this country. Sorry, I'm not making a statement about the American political philosophy, only about the topology. The political philosophy is nonsense. But anyway, I can take over this country, meaning I can slide this edge to here. It is isotopic. So I can slide this edge to here, and now I have a new knotted trivalent graph, which is isotopic to the previous one, and which I reached using the operations. Okay? But now I can unzip this edge. So what have I done? Oh, I forgot. There is still this. So now I can unzip this edge. By the way, this whole process is on your handout. So divided into steps. So I can unzip this edge. But now using the domino theory, I've taken over one country, I can take over the neighboring one. Because you see, I have an edge here that I can slide to the other side. So so this country is becoming red also. So now I have red going from here to here. Likewise, I can take over this neighboring country, and I have red. Oops, sorry, this edge disappears because I'm sliding it, but I have a red edge going here, and this edge disappears, and the blue one becomes red, and I've nearly taken over the universe to completely. Now, in principle, if the universe was bigger, I could continue this process. So I take over one country, then the next, and I can keep going. And now I unzip this edge, so this just basically turns this to go like that. And I unzip this edge, so basically I unzip all external edges. And I get the trefoil along with a circle around it. Now I delete the circle. Okay? Or, you know, if you complain that I didn't have the delete circle operation, then either add it, because clearly it's topologically well-defined and creates no difficulties, or before the last unzip, instead of doing the last unzip, you just delete. Okay? But in either case, I will get the trefoil. So, where did I lie to you? I lied to you in the following place. I actually did not put tetrahedra inside, but boxes like this. These are tetrahedra, but they have the wrong framing. Okay, if you try to remember that everything is really a band graph. So if you, as a fat graph, it's different than this one. If you try if you pull out this to the outside so as to get this picture, you will get twists. Okay? So the trick is to add another generator. So it's generated by this and by that. And if you look at this, if you now also use this, so you can use this generator by basically doing a three-lane highway connect from here to here, you will get again a tetrahedron but with band twists. So you can get the band twists using this generator, and that's its only role. Okay, so the claim is that KTG is generated by this generator, call it T, and this generator, call it rho. Okay, temporarily. Okay, now, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, no. In which order should I do it? Yeah, okay. There are relations. Okay? So let me, of course there are relations. So let me give you an example of a relation. And so No, you know what? I'll do it in the same blackboard. So here is a relation. Take three tetrahedra facing each other as I am indicating. Okay? And let me do the following to them. So first of all, a three-lane highway between these two, and then again a three-lane highway between these two, and then conquer the country in the middle. So move this arc so that it's over here, and now do an unzip. And I got a picture that's a bit hard to see, but it's a triangle in the middle, a triangle outside, and three edges connecting them. Namely, it's a triangular prism. Okay? On the other hand, if you just take two tetrahedra and do a three-lane highway in between them, again you get a triangular prism. Topologically, these are the same. So this is again a three prism. So I have a relation of the general form t cubed is equal to t squared. Of course, you know, it's not cubing. I mean, if take three t's, apply funny operations, and you get the same answer as taking two t's and applying funny operations. Two comments about this. First of all, topologically, if you dualize, this is the dual, this is the Pachner move. So this is the dual of the usual Pachner move over triangulations of three manifolds. I have nothing useful to say about it. It's a fact. I never had any use for it. Okay? And the second comment is that this is the Drinfeld pentagon. This is the Drinfeld pentagon, and therefore T is the equivalent of an associator, and rho is, well, not by this, but by other relations, is the equivalent of R. Okay? So I have to explain. So suppose I want now an invariant Z going from knotted trivalent graphs into the corresponding A's. So basically it should take any K of gamma into A of gamma. A of gamma has all the same operations. So A of gamma also has this binary connect sum along edges. It also has the delete operation. It also has the unzip operation. We've seen all of these operations before. In fact, first of all, I should have said what A of gamma is, right? It's the usual diagrams modulo 4T with a vertex invariance relation on each vertex. So everything makes sense, okay? So now I'm looking for an invariant like that, and it should be taking, so such an invariant will be determined by its values on the tetrahedron. Let's call this value phi, and its value on the, what do you call it, the twist, so rho, call this r, okay? I claim that, well, I will not say anything about R, but I will claim that the invariant of phi is an associate, sorry, that the invariant of the tetrahedron, so phi, is precisely a Drinfeld associator. So, unfortunately, unfortunately, the way to do it is to go to a picture. So, oi. And I'm covering my own work, bad. Okay. So, sorry. I mean, at the top you see the domino theory story, and you have it on your handout. And here is kind of the Pentagon relation. Here is the theorem that I just stated, and here is the beginning of the proof. So first of all, if you have a skeleton, a tetrahedral skeleton, and you have chords on it, remember you can swipe off chords from, you can choose a maximal tree and remove all the ends from it. So this will be the block. So I will remove all the chords that end on black, again using vertex invariance, and now the chords only end on purple 1, purple 2, and purple 3. So I have a chord diagram on a skeleton which is three lines, purple 1, purple 2, purple 3, and I'll call it phi, and phi lives in A of three strands. Now let's figure out what equations phi has to satisfy, or not all of them. Let's figure out the pentagon. Okay, so I take three tetrahedra, and each one has its 1, 2, 3 strands. Okay, what I will do is I will apply the operations that gave me the left-hand side of the pentagon, but keeping track of where the strands go, and it's enough that I keep track of the colored edges and their numbering. Just see where each edge goes. So doing the connect sum the unzip operations did nothing. Okay? Now I slide this down to here, so I have two in the middle, but then I unzip, which amounts to saying that I get two copies of two. Okay? Right? And what it really means is that if ever there was a chord ending on this two, it will now end on either this two or that two. Sorry, on green two. It will now end either on this green 2 or that green 2. And I think I'm practically done. Yeah, so now let me read off the answer. But let me read off the answer. Again, to read off the answer, I need to pick a maximal tree, clean it, swipe it clean, and number the remaining edges. So the maximal tree is drawn here in red, and fortunately for me it was clean. I didn't need to clean it. So I'll just number the remaining edges, 1, 2, 3, 4. And on 1 I see red 1 and then green 1. On 2 I see red 2, green 2, blue 1, and so on. Here's the same thing, written as straight lines. And then what does it mean? So this is a product of the red associator. All of them are of course the same, right? So this is a product of the red copy of phi, the green copy of phi, the blue copy of phi. Now the first copy is installed on the first three strands, so it's as if you tensor it with 1. The second copy has the middle strand doubled, so it's 1 delta 1 phi. The last one is what's written there, and that's the right hand side of the pentagon. Now the other side. So again, I take these three, I connect them, I get this picture. I think it's just, there is just nothing to say. If you do a three-lane highway here, you get that. And unfortunately now, the empty legs, the empty edges don't make a maximal tree. So if I want to make a maximal tree, I have to clean a further edge. Two further edges. The two further edges that I will clean are this one and that one. And the way I clean them is I push everything that was on one around the corner. So I have now two copies of one here, right? Because anything that was on one gets split. The vertex invariance relation says that any chord ending here becomes a chord ending here plus a chord ending here. So now I have two copies of one here, and likewise I have two copies of three, of orange three over there. Brown three, sorry, over there. And again, I number them 1, 2, 3, 4, and you have to believe me that it's the same numbering as before. Okay, that after you do the three-dimensional motion, I mean, that it's the same numbering of the edges of the prism as before, and then you'll get the picture written here, which is interpreted as a product of two associators. The first one has the last run double, the first run double, the second one has the last run double. This is this formula, and that's the other side of the pentagon. Okay, are you with me? Okay. I think that's all I needed from the... Yeah, that's all I wanted. So, what's the moral? Sorry, what's going on? Oh yeah, it takes 10 seconds. I don't remember if I... So... So the moral is that first, that this is equivalent to the the loose moral is that this is equivalent to the theory of associators. I didn't complete the story, okay? And in fact, there will be some minor complications, and to make it precisely equivalent at the end, some further work is necessary, but this is the general principle, okay? Anyway, yeah?
Usual case is said that there, we have one somewhat a canonical associator, which is the Grenfell associator or Casey one.
Yeah.
But there's a complete set of associators, and there's a group acting on it transitively as well.
Yeah.
In this case, there's more than one associator as well, and if yes, what is... Is there also a group action on the set of associators?
This is equivalent to the theory of non-horizontal associators. Horizontality goes away. It's not horizontal chords. So this is equivalent to the theory of non-horizontal associators. And thanks for reminding me, what does the twisting mean? So the twisting becomes... An F that I used for twisting before was an element on two strands, so it will belongs to A of a tetragraph. Because again, in a tetragraph, if you clean, if you remove a maximal tree, you're left with two strands. And Fs like that act on tetrahedra by you take the tetrahedra and you do connect some with an S, you do a three-lane highway connect some with an S in four places. Okay? So, morally speaking, you have an action, phi goes to phi times F to the fourth. Okay, so... An F comma phi is gives you a phi prime, which you get by acting on phi to by phi to the fourth, and if you open up all the details, it becomes the action that I wrote, a while ago. So the two, this is schematic. The details are. Okay, so indeed the actions are act by acting on the vertices. Okay, and in fact, but I'm skipping. I'm making lots of small lies, but at the end it's the right thing. Anyway, so the moral is that. Okay, not the moral. So this is equivalent to the theory of associators. Now, how is it related to the theory of before? So, before, I constructed a map from WK of any graph to WA of any graph. depth of that graph, right? Because you just put any knotted graph, because basically you put an R on every vertex and a V on, sorry, an R on every crossing and a V on every vertex, and I verify the Rademeister moves. So, or I didn't construct, sorry, but the problem before was to construct a Z going from here to here, or a WZ going from here to here. Okay? But I also have a map from usual knots of gamma to here. Just the usual, just the map that interprets the usual map. In fact, graphically it's the identity, it's the inclusion where you include into the part that has no virtual crossings. Okay? So therefore we automatically get an invariant from here to here. Not automatically. The moment you've solved the Kashiwara-Verne problem, so the moment you've solved for Z, for the values of the vertices, you get a WZ, and therefore you get a map from here to here. Okay? Now the conditions that I've imposed here were exactly, well included, among other things, well, good behavior under unzip. Okay? So you will have good behavior under unzip over here as well. Okay? And the others are also automatic. Again, and I'm skipping. So the hard one is the unzip. The others are easy. And then the moral is that you get an invariant of KTGs with values here, but therefore it solves the pentagon. Therefore you get an associator. So you get an associator. However, it's a weak associator. It's not valued in the right A, so it's not valued in UA, rather it's valued in WA, and that's actually weaker. That's only wheels and trees, and the ordinary A can have more complicated graphs. Okay, so that's one side. There's more to say on this side, but I want to give Karine the stage, okay? And, yeah.
So, just one last question.
Yeah?
This is an equipment theory. We've tried studying or attaching the group and deep type of the group in this setting, because this seems easier than the usual analytic counterpart.
Later. It's going way too far. Okay. By the way, what is the formula for the associator? So the formula for the associator, it's the value of the tetrahedron. The value of the tetrahedron, well, the tetrahedron is made of four vertices. So really the formula is phi is equal to v to the fourth. And this is exactly the formula that Kashiwara-Verne, Alexeyev Torossian write. Given a solution of the Kashiwara-Verne problem, its fourth power is an associator, but again, its fourth power in a bizarre way, not in an order, not its. In a funny way of combining, using funny operations. Okay, so now you can ask, what about the other way? Suppose I have phi. So suppose I have a value for that in U. Can I derive values for the vertices? So why not? So the value phi is sort of, it will have lots of chord. It will have a messy chord diagram on top. Why not chop it to pieces and call each piece a V? The answer is there is no way to chop it to pieces. It comes as a unit. There is no canonical way to chop it to pieces. I don't know how to chop it to pieces. Okay? So priori, you would expect, and in fact, in you, it doesn't make sense to speak about the value of the vertex. The vertex is never comes as a standalone object. The objects you get are the complete knotted Trevelyan graphs, but not the individual vertices. So it doesn't make sense to ask what's uz of a single vertex. It's a meaningless question. Okay, so I cannot do that. However, there is the following rather surprising claim, and the claim says the following. So, I suppose I should have given. Using the operations of WK, I guess I should have given a name to this operation, this map from U to W. Let's call it A. So using the operations of WK, the Y graph is computable from A of the tetrahedron. Okay? So using the operations of U, there is no way to derive the vertex from four vertices. But using the operations of W, you could derive a single vertex from the complete tetrahedron. Therefore, so this implies in W there's a formula for V in terms of phi. The formula presupposes the fact that the formula will give me a V that satisfies all, or how should I say that? The formula presupposes that I have these operations and that I can apply them, and so, but I do get an explicit formula. So I do get an explicit formula for V from phi. And then once you have an explicit formula, you can work out why the formula actually gives a solution to the equations that V has to satisfy. Okay? That formula is surprisingly complicated. How do you get from a tetrahedron to a Y is surprisingly complicated, so I'll do it very, very briefly. So, I think I'm out of time, so I mean, maybe I can't even do it very, very briefly. You do the so-called double tree construction. So, in fact, if I have any U-tangle, given an arbitrary U-tangle, possibly with vertices, so given any U-tangle with vertices, I can, so again, a U-tangle is not a KTG. U-tangles with no parentheticizations or anything, I don't know what to do with them in any finite type theory. But, I mean, they still, I mean, I can still draw them. So the claim is that, however, this U-tangle does make sense as a W-tangle. So I claim that I have a formula for U using W operations, I can derive Z. I can derive the invariant of this thing from knotted trivalent graphs. So first of all, let me construct a complicated knotted trivalent graph out of this. So this is this double tree construction. What I will do is I will connect all of the edges below using a tree to the right. I mean, I don't care which tree you choose. Using some tree, I will connect all of them to the right. I will also, so each edge, but at the same time, I will also connect them using a tree to a left, introducing new vertices. So here is so the original points were, I guess, here. So I will also connect them using another tree to the left. Sorry, to the left. So, sorry, it should be trivalent. What a mess. Okay. Now I got a long KTG. I mean, if you want, you can close it. And then you got an ordinary KTG, but the theory of long KTGs is equivalent to the theory of KTGs for the same reason as long knots. So, I mean, I may as well keep it open. Okay? Now, this is still a U in the U universe. Okay? And it's way more complicated from than the thing that I started from. But now, let me... let me cap one side and plunge the other. Put a plunger on the other. And now I am in the W world, and let me start applying allowed W operations. So let me first of all unzip this cup, so it becomes two cups. Then unzip this cup. So basically I'm killing the tree by unzipping everything around it. Then this slides to here, and it's still cupped. Unzip it, it slides to here, unzip it, and you're done. Oh, did I slide something under or over? Oh, I did the wrong thing. Oops. I should have slid the underside. Sorry, I cannot slide over stuff, but so when I constructed the two trees, I should have capped the side that is below, because I can slide below.
We just rotate the picture.
But just look at the picture from the other room. Okay, sorry. Anyway, continue doing this. Okay, continue killing this tree, and basically everything will be capped on all places. So also this. Okay. Now, for the other tree, use a new operation which I never talked about, but which works with, which topologically makes sense and therefore also has a diagrammatic counterpart. So I can use it to write formulas. And the new operation is puncturing. So if you have a tube, you can puncture it with a pin, okay? And then you'll have a tiny hole. But the moment you have a tiny hole, topologically, it's the same as collapsing, well, depends how the tube ends. Let's end it like this. But topologically, it's the same as collapsing the whole tube to be a single strand. Just a hair remains of it. And again, since it makes sense topologically, it will also have a diagrammatic counterpart. And the diagrammatic counterpart will be any tail that ends on that strand goes to zero, because tails means surround, and once you puncture, it doesn't surround. And any head stays the same. And it actually has a low algebra meaning as well. It means that there is some projection from, in fact, it's a projection I've already used at some point, from U of IG into U of G. Anyway, so puncture this and the basic, sorry, puncture everything in sight on the left. And once you're done doing this, the whole tree here will become red, which means one-dimensional lines. Again, topologically, what do you see here? You see a cup and a line hanging from it. But that's exactly the same topologically as a, right, what do you see near here? Maybe I'm drawing it with the wrong orientation. You're seeing a tube capped with a line hanging from it. Topologically, you can slide the line to here, so you will, to the end, so you'll get again a plunged vertex. Now, if it makes sense topologically, there will be a diagrammatic counterpart. There will be a way of telling, I will have a way of telling you how to move all the arrowheads and tails that could end here to here. So do that, and now you just have this picture. Now, what is this picture? This is exactly A of the tangle I started from, right? It has tubes where it needed to have tubes, and they're all pinched at infinity, to infinity. So, and any topological operation I could imitate with a diagrammatic operation. So I get I got an explicit formula for whatever I started from in terms of the value of a knotted the core diagrams corresponding to a knotted trivalent graphs. And then the only thing that remains is to check that this formula actually satisfies the required identities. And basically you have to go through the double tree construction and see how it behaves relative to all the operations. And it behaves. Okay? Sorry, so I therefore associators correspond, or there is a interplay between associators and vertices. Okay? And I'm sorry, it's Karine's turn. It's, well, yeah, so I'll stop.